as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to make a stand today. I'm going to make a change. I'm going to make a declaration. The power of God, the saving power of Jesus Christ in our lives. Hallelujah. When one person dares to stand up and say, you know what, for me, I'm going to make a change today. Hallelujah. And how that is like a pond, like a pebble that's thrown into a pond. And that pebble can ripple out in so many ways that we have no idea where that goes and the power of God and what God has the ability to do in and through us in our lives. Amen. How many of you can look back to somebody in your house that stood up and said, you know what, today I'm making a change in my house, and they stood up and accepted Jesus as their Savior and changed the course of history for their household and for their children and for their families. Do you believe we have the ability to do that today? Hallelujah. I was reading something that Joseph Prince said, and he said, you know, when one person stands up and accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, they open the door wide open for the rest of their family to walk through that door and find that same saving power, that same salvation, that same healing, that same presence of God in their house. Amen. How many are thankful for the presence of God in your house? Amen. Hallelujah. The ability to believe, the ability to come to Jesus. Hallelujah. In whatever shape that we're in, and say, Lord, just forgive me of my sins and receive me. And it truly is that simple, that He receives us as our own. How many know He paid the price at Calvary for our sins and for our iniquities, past, present, and future? And He says, your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. Hallelujah. So every time you want to bring up your own failures or your own shortcomings and things that you've done in your past and say, yeah, but, you know, I did this and I did that, He says, what are you talking about? I don't remember that. I don't remember that. His word says, I will remember them no more. Amen. How many know you need to put them out of your remembrance? Hallelujah, because what's in the past is in the past. Yesterday was yesterday. You can't change yesterday, but you have the ability to change today, and you really have the ability to change tomorrow. Amen? How we respond, how we act, and what we find, what we think we find important. Amen? Hallelujah. What we value, what our value system is. I was thinking about the scripture when the man said to Jesus, Lord, I believe, but help now my unbelief. How many know it's our belief system that causes us troubles from time to time? Hallelujah. Lord, I believe, but help now my unbelief. Let my belief, let my faith be stronger than my unbelief. Hallelujah, because I know that you have the power. Amen. How many know, believe he's got the power to heal? How many believe he's got the power to save? He's got the power to comfort. He's got the power to bring change. How do I know it? Because he's done it. I come from a family where God has done the miraculous, where God stepped in. I told you before about the conversation I had on the plane coming back from Arizona with a lady, and I was telling her the testimony of my family and my parents and how God saved my mom and then saved my dad, who was an alcoholic, and we had 6 children. We didn't go to church. We were raised heathen. We didn't know much about God or church or any of those kind of things. We just, you know, it's just who we were. Amen? And I said, but God saved my dad. And he simply said, he said, I didn't even know how to pray. He said, but I knew that I just said, God, if you'll save me, I'll serve you. That's all he knew to say. If you'll save me, I'll serve you. And he meant what he said. And the power of God came into his bedroom, and it changed his life like that. And I said, he wasn't an alcoholic anymore. He gave up all the things, you know, in his life. And she said, you mean just like that? And I said, yeah, just like that. And she said, he didn't have to go to AA. And I said, no, he didn't have to go to, he didn't have to go to rehab. No, he didn't have to go to rehab. He didn't have withdrawals. No, he didn't have withdrawals. God supernaturally saved him. And when he said, if you'll save me, I'll serve you, he did it. And he did it with all of his heart. For 40 some years, he served God with all of his heart. So I don't know what you think, but I know the power of God to save people who look like they're beyond the reach of God. Don't have to raise your hand. Does anybody know anybody in here? Say, God, they seem like they're out of your reach. It seems like they're getting farther away from you. But God, you have the power to save. You have the power to deliver. You have the power to set free. You have the power to take those who seem like they are nothing or don't have ability and give them the ability to change nations. It blows my mind all the time. Hallelujah. When Morris and Teresa walked in here last Sunday, who would have thought that people from all over the world would walk into this assembly to hear the gospel that's been preached here? Because one man and one woman stood up and said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. And that same God that's able to do it for me or my family or my household is the same God that's able to do it for yours. Yeah. Amen. When one person dares to believe, one person dares to stand up. Hallelujah. The power of God to change us from glory to glory. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. I want to talk a little bit today about a household of faith. I want to talk about the saving power of Jesus. You know, when I start thinking about the holidays and I start thinking about, you know, all of the things that are coming up in the next little bit, it makes me think of families and things like that. And I'm on a quest these days for families. Amen? I want to see families healed and made whole. I want to see kids grow up productive and prosperous, and I want to see us quit pronouncing curses on our younger generation and thinking that they're no good and things have gone bad. You talk about, man, things aren't like the way they used to be. No, they're not the way they used to be, but they said that about your generation also, okay? You know, so, you know, we start thinking, well, man, things are going bad or things are not good, but how many know if you see it's like that, we need to change that. And we have the ability and the power to change that. And so I believe we serve a God who is a generational God. Anybody in the house serve a generational God today that believes that your children and your grandchildren can serve a greater God even than what you know and walk in a greater power and a greater anointing than what you've ever even walked in. I'm not satisfied for my kids just to make it to heaven. I'm not satisfied for them just to have an anointing like mine. I want them to have a greater anointing on their life. I want them to touch more people than I touch. I want the power of God in my grandbabies. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I know it works. It's worked for me. It's worked for my house, and I want to see greatness in them. Hallelujah. There is nothing that thrills my soul more than seeing this altar filled this morning with kids who are crying out to Jesus. Amen. If we ever lose a heart for that, we need to go back and visit some foundational things. Amen. But nothing thrills my heart more than that, because I remember the moment when I asked Jesus to come into my heart as a little girl. I remember the encounter that I had, that as a small child, I knelt down and I asked Jesus to come into my heart, and I felt the power of the Holy Spirit as a child touch me. Hallelujah. Save me and keep me. Hallelujah. And so I'm thankful for that. And I want to go to Acts 16 this morning. I got a couple different things rolling around in my head, so we'll see which direction it goes. But I want to talk about households today, generational blessings, salvation. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 16. I apologize for the overhead. We have a new one. It's here and it's in the box. The oven was beyond repair, so we just had to purchase a new one. So we have it, and we hope to have it up this week. So I apologize for not having the words of our songs up or our scriptures. So how many know we preached without technology for years? They sang without technology for hundreds of years. So it's going to be all right, I promise. It's going to be all right, but we will get it. Hallelujah. It says, therefore, loosing from Troas, verse 11 of chapter 16, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my home, into my house, and abide there. And she constrained us. I mean, no, there's a lady named Lydia. She is an entrepreneur. She is a seller of purple. She is a productive woman. She's out by the seashore because that's where they collected from the certain mollusks and things like that. That's where they would get the purple dye. And as she's there, she hears the preaching of the gospel of Paul, who is preaching the message of the cross. Amen? And as he's there and preaching the message of the cross, the scripture says she yields to that message, accepts that, and her household are saved and baptized because of the message, because they embrace the message or the preaching of the cross. Hallelujah. How many know Paul did not always preach the message of the cross? As a matter of fact, he was the very person who fought Stephen and the disciples and those who did preach the message of the cross and held the garment of Stephen while he was stoned. But Paul's been converted. He's had an encounter with Jesus. How many know he was very anti-Christ? Paul, his name was Saul, and Saul was converted to Paul, but when he was Saul, he was very anti-Christ. How many know he did not believe or embrace the teachings of the cross? Didn't mean he wasn't religious. He was very religious. He just did not know Jesus or had never had an encounter with Jesus. Hallelujah. How many know there's something about encountering Jesus that you can't go back to the same old thing that you used to know? Hallelujah. Because as he's holding the very garment of Stephen in his hand while they're stoning him for preaching this Jesus whom you crucified, he is alive and well, and he is on the scene. And while he's carrying that garment on his way to persecute those who are following this Jesus, how many know there's an encounter on that road where Saul is blinded? Hallelujah. And he says, Saul, why do you kick against the pricks? Why do you fight me on this? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. I'm Jesus, the one you don't believe in, Paul. I'm Jesus, the one you are fighting against, the one you're trying to reason me away. You're trying to explain me away. Can I just tell you, Paul, I'm Jesus. And this is your encounter moment. How many know Saul becomes blinded to everything that he once knew? And his eyes are opened. And when his eyes are open, he begins preaching the message of Jesus Christ and writes most of the New Testament scriptures that we know. So how many know here we have a revival on the side of the seashore with Lydia and her family from Paul, who's preaching the message of Jesus Christ, the very message that he once refuted and despised. Hallelujah. And as he begins to preach the message of Jesus, Lydia hears the message and receives it. How many are thankful for a mom or a grandmom or a lady in your life that somehow told you about Jesus, or maybe told you the message of salvation beside the rocking chair, or somebody that led you to Jesus, somebody in your life that was faithful? Hallelujah. My Lydia was my mom who told me about Jesus. Hallelujah. And that her and her household was saved. Her Lydia might have been Jenny, but her Lydia might have been her grandma. Hallelujah. And the very woman that was instrumental in my dad receiving Jesus was my grandmother Ethel, who sang him a song, Daddy, you can't go with us. You can't be our daddy anymore. We're going on to be with Jesus. And as hard as my dad was, and as much as he fought against it, when it started messing with his family, there was something touched him deep inside. And he simply cried out to Jesus and said, if you'll save me, I don't know who you are, Jesus, but if you love me, if you'll save me, I'll serve you. And he made the change in his heart that day. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes it really is as simply as responding to the drawing, that feeling inside of you when you feel his presence touching you. Hallelujah. Lord, you know, I pray that every one of us in this house have an encounter with his presence in such a way that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this Jesus whom you crucified is alive and well. Hallelujah. So that on the seashore, not only does Lydia hear the message, but her family and her household are baptized. And it says, and it came to pass, verse 16, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. She's a soothsayer or a fortune teller. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. And brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither do observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now, these dudes aren't just in jail, but they're in the inner prison. They're not just in the inner prison, but they're in the inner prison with chains on their feet. And they're in there because they cast an evil spirit out of a lady and because they're preaching the gospel. And they've ruffled some feathers of some religious folks. And so therefore, they're sitting in a prison house. Hallelujah. And that basically, they've arrested them because their gains or their money they're making off of this woman's struggling or her troubles, they're making money off of her. And when they cast the evil spirit out of her, how many know no longer is she working on their side? But she's saying, what she's saying in the beginning is, these men are preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. And so they take them, arrest them, and beat them, and cast them into the inner prison for preaching the gospel that you're hearing this morning in this house. Can you lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus, for the freedom to hear your word. Thank you for somebody who paid the price to preach a message, who fought so hard against it, and yet was willing to be beaten and put in an inner prison because when his eyes were opened to it, he said, I can't go back to anything else. I can't go back to what I used to know. I can't go back to any religious system. I can't go back to what they want me to do or want me to be. My eyes have been opened to the grace and the goodness and the mercy of my Savior Jesus Christ. And you can throw me into jail. You can do whatever you want to do, but I'll pay the price because I can't live any other way now. I can't go back to what I used to know. I've done experience too much of his love, too much of his grace to turn my back on it. Hallelujah. I can't live without him anymore. So do what you got to do. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for in this day that we live in that we have the power and the opportunity to experience the grace of Jesus Christ almost in a scandalous, it's so big. His grace is so big. We sang about it this morning. Amen. Amazing grace. It's just amazing grace. Hallelujah. That he would care about just me. To save somebody like me, that I could have the power of Christ living in me to experience him. Hallelujah. So Paul and Silas are thrown into jail, not just into jail, hallelujah, but into the inner jail. And not just in the inner jail, they got chains on their feet because they dared to preach the gospel and would not sell out to any religious system. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. and the prisoners heard them. I love this. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. Now I love this. So here's Paul and Silas. They're in the inner prison in the maximum security with chains on their feet. And it's about the midnight hour. They've been beaten for what they've preached, for what they've accomplished. And all of a sudden, one of them looks at the other one and says, I feel a little praise on me. I think I feel a song coming up on me. And it said at midnight, they started to sing a song. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know what that song was. And I'd like to know the words to it. How many know it's not so much about the words as it is about the spirit and the mindset that you start to sing it in? You might have sang Power in the Blood. You might have been singing Amazing Grace. It doesn't matter what the words of the songs are, but the anointing and the power of God that says, I might be sitting in a prison house. It might be a midnight hour. I might have stripes on my back. I might have chains on my feet, but I feel a little praise sneaking up on me. And I think I'm going to sing me a tune, Paul. You go ahead and join along with me. And it was the beginning, the original version of the Jailhouse Rock. All right, it's the original version of the Jailhouse Rock, because all of a sudden they start to sing some songs and the prison starts to shake. Something starts to happen. Can I tell you today, you know, I've been preaching on this for some time. Your praise and your worship is more powerful than you know. Hallelujah. Your harp is more powerful than your sword. When you have the ability to lift up your voice in the midst of trying and adverse situations and say, I will bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, I'm going to bless his holy name. Hallelujah. My situations may not agree. My life may not agree. My family may not be living like I want them to. The people at my job might not be acting like they need to be acting. My finances may not look like I got anything to rejoice in, but I'm going to lift up my voice in praise and I'm going to glorify my God, because in the midst of my praise, my singing, and my rejoicing, situations change. Circumstances change. See, I'm one of those people that when I get into the house and the worship starts, my mind goes a million miles an hour. And I start thinking about people who need prayer. And I start thinking about God, what God wants to do in the house. And God starts to speak to me about a direction that he needs me to go. And he starts declaring some things to me, because what I know has happened in the realm of the spirit as we begin to pour out our praise and we begin to break open our alabaster box, there's a fragrance that fills the room. And when it fills the room, that fragrance is smelled by everyone in this room. And when we leave this house today and you go out into our community, you might be doing a little, I smell something on you. You smell like you've been to church this morning. I smell a fragrance. Have you been in the presence of Jesus today? Because there's an aroma coming from you. There's a fragrance that fills the room. You smell like Jesus today. You smell like you've been having church. You smell like there's a fragrance that you've been in an atmosphere of praise. Hallelujah. How many know when you leave this place this morning, you need to smell different than when you came in here? Hallelujah. So when she began to open that alabaster box, it was a fragrance rare, and it was of costly value. It cost her something to break open that alabaster box. You know, sometimes it costs you something to lift up your hands and begin to bless the Lord and begin to pour out to him. It may not be comfortable to you. You may not feel like it when you first do it. I remember the first time I ever raised my hand in church, I did one of these things. Because nobody could really see me like that if I just like raised one hand up just a little bit, you know. And then before you know it, you got two hands up a little bit. But it wasn't very long that once you got them to there, it didn't take very much to get them on up there. And it didn't matter who saw you. Because when I lift it up like this, it's like one big funnel of his presence is poured into me. And as his presence is poured into me, I have the ability to pour that out. Hallelujah. And everybody I come into to contact with. So when you go out of here this morning and people think you smell differently, it's a good thing. Hallelujah. Because there's a fragrance that fills the room. an aroma, a sweetness. Hallelujah. It's aroma, it's an aroma that's pleasant. How many know you should have an aroma about you that is inviting to people? Do you know that your smell is one of the greatest triggers for your appetite, what you eat, for an attraction? I got one. How many know fragrance is good? Fragrance is good. Hallelujah. It's alluring. It's drawing. If you want to be alluring or drawing, how many know you put a little bit of fragrance on? It's a good thing. How many know when we're in the room and His presence is in the house, it's an alluring fragrance that draws people to you? Somebody just might want to say, you know, you smell like you've been with Jesus today. Could I just talk to you for a minute? Could I just spend a little bit of time with you? Could you just pray with me today? Because there's something about being around you that's alluring to me and draws me to your presence. And it's not that they're drawn to you or to me. They're drawn to the Spirit of God that's in us. How many know, as much as Peter tried to deny the Lord, he could not because his speech betrayed him. I don't know how to talk any other way. I don't know how to act any other way. He's so a part of my life and so a part of my everyday existence that my speech betrays me without me even knowing it. Hallelujah. Before you know it, somebody knows that you know Jesus. Hallelujah. And so about the time it's in the midnight hour and they're in stocks and bonds, it says they sang praises unto God and the prisoners heard them. Hallelujah. You know what's funny about a song is after it gets stuck in your head, you can't get it out of there. Anybody in here ever had a song stuck in your head? My husband got up this morning. He said, I have had a song stuck in my head for a week. And I cannot get it out of my head. We don't dare ask what that song is. We never share. Do not tell me what that song is. It's stuck in your head. Because next week it's stuck in my head. So we just don't share that information. I mean, no, sometimes you just get that song stuck in your head. And it just plays. Oh, it may be a commercial on TV. Every time you turn around, that silly song. You wake up in the morning. Anybody wake up in the morning with a song in your head? Now, if it's a good song, that's a good thing. Amen? Hallelujah. How many, sometimes you get a song stuck in there, you got to sing another song to get that song out of your head. Amen? Then you get two of them stuck. And when you try to sing them both at the same time, it's really a disaster, isn't it? Beth sang that song the other week, Come Bless the Lord. Come Bless the Lord. I sang it for a week. After I didn't even get to hear it. I heard it on the computer. And it was stuck in my head. That was a good thing. Amen? Because all week then I'm saying, come bless the Lord. And that anointing is there, that presence. You ever get a worship song in your head and it's just there and it plays over and over again? And I've been in situations where a song is playing over and over in my head and I'll stop and think and listen to it for a moment and think, oh, Lord, you're trying to speak to me. You're trying to tell me something about what I'm thinking or what I'm going through right now. And if I'll stop and listen to the words of the song that's stuck in there, I'll find out my answer is already in my praise. My answer is already in my rejoicing. If I'll just go ahead and burst forth in song. Hallelujah. When I was in school, I was one of those kids that had to try really hard not to hum out loud. You ever been in class and all of a sudden you realize you're humming and you didn't know it? Okay, I'm the only one in the room that's ever done that. Oh yeah. Monty says, I just did it. You know, you're so caught, you're humming and you're thinking about something before you know it, you're humming out loud. We'll be going down the car in the road, and Dan say, what are you humming? I was like, oh, I didn't know I was humming, but... And I know Lynn does it. He hums when he eats. He hums at the dinner table. Hallelujah. There are worse things. Amen? It's his happy time. It's your happy time. Yeah. Hallelujah. But how many know... They could be, they're in the prison house. They're in stocks and bonds. They have every right, or so it would seem, to complain, to murmur and say, Lord, we were preaching the gospel for you, and now here we are sitting in this place. We've been beaten. We've been locked up. Where is God? Anybody ever know the tune to that song? Yeah. Yeah, we know the tune to that song because a lot of times our response is like that. But I told you the other Sunday, there comes a place in your walk where the first time you're in a storm, you might freak out and go say, Jesus, don't you care that we perish? But the next storm that comes by, you find out Jesus is walking on it. But by the time the third storm hits, you get out of the boat and walk to him on the storm. How many know our response to storms must change? And our response every time it seems like there's crisis must change. And we have the ability from the inside out to begin to lift our voice and praise and say, you know what, Paul? You know what, Silas? We can sit here and complain, or we can just praise our way on out of this. And see, here's the key. What's so powerful about this is not only do Paul and Silas begin to just sing, but it says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. How many know when you begin to lift up your voice and praise, there's some foundational prisons that are shaken. There's some strongholds that are cast off. There's some chains that are broken. Hallelujah. It said it caused the foundation of the prison to be shaken. And immediately, listen to this, all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loose, not just Paul and Silas's. Everyone who was in the atmosphere of revival that's breaking out as the jailhouse begins to rock, everyone's bands are loose and everyone's doors are open and everyone begins to set free. When you think about that, that's an awesome responsibility. It's an awesome opportunity. Yet you know what? By me refocusing, by me taking a different perspective on things, by me opening my mouth in praise instead of opening my mouth to complain, I not only have the ability to bring myself out of this place, I have the ability to bring out those who are around me in this place, hallelujah, and lead them out of this place and set them free. Hallelujah. Do you believe you have the ability on your job to set people free? You have the ability in your homes to set people free. You have the ability in your communities by the profession of what comes out of your mouth. See, I can only tell you what works for me. Amen? I can tell your testimony. You can tell my testimony, but we can tell the testimony of Jesus Christ, which is the power to save. It's the power of repentance. Hallelujah. And it says, the prison was shaken immediately. All the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. I mean, oh, he's asleep during all this. But your praise has the ability to wake those out of their slumber and out of their sleep and cause them to know that something is shaking, something's moving, something's changing in the atmosphere. Hallelujah. And so when he wakes up and realizes that he might have just let the prisoners free, he's going to fall on his sword because that's the sentence that's coming his way if they find out that the prisoners have gone free. But here's what's powerful about this. Paul cries out with a loud voice saying, stop, do thyself no harm. We're all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Now here's what happened. Revival breaks out in the prison cell. They're singing a song of rejoicing. The prison starts to shake. The doors start to come open. The bands start to be loosed. And the greatest miracle of all is nobody left. Nobody had to get home early. No one decided they even wanted to leave there. His presence was so great and so real and so freeing that when the doors of the prison opened, the prisoners didn't even try to escape. How many know there's something captivating about his presence? There's something captivating when he sets you free. Hallelujah. There's something powerful that's more constraining. Hallelujah. There's something that'll grab you greater than any other restriction. And that's the love and the goodness of Jesus. in your life. And brought them out and said, sirs, here's his response to the jailhouse rock. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I mean, it didn't say Paul and Silas preached to them. Didn't show them any movies. Didn't tell them they was going to burn in hell even. It doesn't really tell us that he told them anything. It said they just began to lift their voice in praise and rejoicing under God, and the atmosphere around them changed. And when the atmosphere changed, people around them changed. And when people around them changed, the jailer said, what must I do to be saved? What do I got to do to experience this? Whatever it is that just happened here in this prison cell tonight, I need it. I want it. I want whatever it is. What must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy household. Do you believe today that you have the power to believe for your household to be saved? Hallelujah. He said, just believe. The power to believe today. The goodness of God to cause us to believe in his mercy and his saving power. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. How many know he not only wanted salvation for himself, he wanted salvation for his household. They were saved and baptized. And not only do I just want salvation for my house, for myself and my household, I want what you have, Paul and Silas, I want that in my house. Come to my house and let me set meat before you, because I want that in my house. Hallelujah. How many know we must desire his presence in our house, in what we do? Amen? Hallelujah. He said, I want that in my house, and I want that for my household. How many are thankful today that we serve a generational God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. And it says in verse 1, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. Now let me back up for just a moment and let you know that we have Peter here, and he's up on the roof. It's almost lunchtime, and he's in a trance. And he's in the spirit. And he sees a vision, and he sees a sheet come down. And on that sheet, there are all kinds of clean and unclean animals on that sheet. And the Spirit of the Lord speaks to Peter and says, rise, kill and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord, I have never tasted or touched of anything that is common or unclean. And God's response to him is, do not call anything that I have cleansed common or unclean. And about that time, there's a knock on the door from a man named Cornelius, who is a Gentile. And the Jews did not have much dealings with the Gentiles in that day. And they said, Peter, we need you to come down to the house of Cornelius, and we need you to share the gospel of Jesus with the Gentiles down at the house of Cornelius. How many know Cornelius was desiring? He'd been hearing something. He'd been hearing this message of the cross. He'd been hearing the message of the gospel. And he calls for Peter to come down. How many know before Peter would have had that vision, he would have not went to the house of Cornelius, because it would have been an unclean place to go. But the scripture tells us that he goes down to the house of Cornelius, And while he's there, they said, tell us what is going on. What has been going on in Jerusalem? Tell us about this Jesus. Tell us about this message of the cross. Tell us about the grace and the goodness of God. And so Peter starts and begins to share everything that he's experienced, everything that he's encountered in his walk with Jesus, and how that same Jesus was crucified, buried, and died, yet he was resurrected on the third day, and they saw him and visited with him and began to share the message of the gospel. And the scripture says, and while he's preaching Jesus, I love this, while he's preaching Jesus, the Holy Ghost falls, and the Holy Ghost falls on the Gentiles, and they get baptized in the Holy Spirit before they get baptized in water. And they say, well, now we're going to have to baptize them in water because they got baptized with the Holy Ghost first, and we thought we were supposed to baptize them in whatever. The Holy Ghost did just what the Holy Ghost wanted to do. And lo and behold, the Gentiles get filled with the Holy Ghost. But Peter's got to go back home and answer to the council now, because that the Holy Ghost has fallen on the Gentiles. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And Peter was come up to Jerusalem. They that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and did eat with them. You ate with those unclean people. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, probably one of the first things he said, that's all right, because that's what I saw my Jesus do. Hallelujah. How many know Jesus hung out? He got accused of hanging out with the publicans and the sinners and the riffraff. Peter said, that's okay, because that's what I saw my Jesus doing. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, he gave them the details. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. A certain vessel descend as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me, upon the which when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words, listen to this, verse 14, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Paul goes down to the house of Cornelius. He begins to preach the gospel in the house of Cornelius. And all of a sudden, revival breaks out in the house of Cornelius the Gentile, and the Holy Ghost does what the Holy Ghost wants to do in and among them. He comes back. They try to, Peter said, what are you doing, Peter, hanging out with the unclean and hanging out with those who are the Gentiles? And he said, all I know to tell you is God sent me to Joppa. He sent me to the house of Cornelius. I didn't go down with any pretenses. I didn't go down with any thoughts in my mind except God sent me. And here's what I want to tell you. When I began to preach Jesus, the Holy Ghost took over. And the Holy Ghost does what the Holy Ghost wants to do. And God gave them the ability to be saved and their household. Hallelujah. Here's what you need to know today. That if we'll preach Jesus, if we'll preach the message of the cross, if we'll preach the power of repentance, the power of forgiveness, the power of the cross, the Holy Ghost has the power to do well, exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, he didn't go down to preach at them. He just went down to share his testimony of what God had done in his life, what he had seen and he heard and what he knew to be truth. Sometimes we're guilty of using the word to attack people instead of using the word and the message of the gospel to heal people. Amen? Because when we began to preach the message of the risen Savior, it's a message of love and acceptance and forgiveness. And I want to tell you today, if you are sitting looking in the faces of those thinking, it'll never happen in my house. God, I don't know that God can save this one or that one. They got this issue or that issue. I come to tell you today, the Holy Ghost is more powerful than you know. It has the ability to do more than you'll ever understand or more than you'll ever believe it can do. Hallelujah. As we begin to trust God and give opportunity for God to move in and amongst us. Amen. How many know there are opportunities all around us for God to do the miraculous? And it doesn't happen by beating people up with it. It doesn't happen by, beating them over the head with it. How many know the goodness of God leads men to repentance? When people see how much it works in your life, when they see the goodness of God, how much he loves them, how much he wants to bless them. How many know that's a drawing factor? There's something about the aroma that you carry. When you've been in the room with him and the fragrance of his praise is released, you smell differently. Hallelujah. You have a different fragrance, a different aroma about you. Hallelujah. And so my prayer over these next couple months is I want God to move on behalf of our families. Is there anybody in this house this morning that says, I want God to move in my family? I want to see the supernatural. I want to see the miraculous. I want to see chains broken. I want people set free. I want to see prison doors open. I want to see chains broken. I want to see barriers removed. I want to see God do the miraculous in the families in this house and in our community. Hallelujah. In closing, there's a scripture in Exodus, and I'm not going to get a chance to go there today, but I'll just tell you about it real quick. It's in Exodus 1, verse 8 through 22, but there's a person named Shifra and Puah. Does anybody know who that is? Probably nobody knows who Shifra and Puah is, right? Well, Shifra and Puah were two midwives in the time of the captivity, in the time of the Exodus. And they were given a command that the Hebrew women were birthing children at such a productive rate that they were afraid that the Hebrew children were going to be overtaken, that they were going to be so powerful. So Pharaoh was threatened by the Hebrew children. And he said to the midwives, I want you to kill all the baby boys that are being born. And Shifra and Puah were the first person in 400 years to say no to Pharaoh. Now, we know how powerful Moses is, right? I mean, Moses was one of those baby boys born after the command for Shifra and Puah to kill the baby boys. Something rose up inside those two women that said, you know what? I can't do it. No more am I going to let Pharaoh abort our babies. No more am I going to let the voices of Pharaoh stop what God is doing amongst our people. No longer am I going to allow our babies to be mishandled, mistreated, or become into captivity or fall under the voice of a Pharaoh. And I say to this house this morning, we silence the voices of every Pharaoh that would want to speak death over our children, that would want to speak bondage over our children, that would want to silence or stop the promise or the purpose of God in their life. 400 years, two women stood up and said, and Pharaoh comes back to him and said, how comes you're not killing the baby boys? He said, these women are so spry, they're having babies before we can get there, and we can't even stop what God is doing in amongst the people. How many know they said, we will not have our babies killed. Out of that came the greatest deliverer of the Old Testament, Moses. I thought about the scripture when Moses stands on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus and Moses and Elijah. Moses goes up on the mountain, receives the Ten Commandments. He rolls back the Red Sea. He's instrumental in all the miraculous things that happen in the wilderness. Why? Because maybe somebody stood up and said, I'm saying no to Pharaoh today. I'm saying you have no power over our babies. You have no power over our children. I say to addictions and strongholds today, every Pharaoh that would look like they want to take our babies, you have no voice. You have no stronghold. You have no control over our babies today. Hallelujah. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet with me this morning. So I say over to this house this morning, there are some Shiphrahs and some Puahs in this house that are standing in a place of protection over our children. How many know as our babies are born into the kingdom supernaturally through a new birth? How many know Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said, what must I do to be saved? He said, you got to be born again. How many know as children are born into the kingdom, somebody has to midwife them and help them in their transition, in their birthing stage, in their birthing period to become strong. Hallelujah. And to be raised up and to be strong. Hallelujah. And so I felt to tell this house prophetically this morning. Hallelujah. I say no to Pharaoh. No more children. No more children under bondage to Pharaoh's slavery, addictions, crisis, sickness, whatever it is that would seem like it would challenge your house, your children, your offspring, your seed, your generations. Hallelujah. I say no to Pharaoh today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're in this house this morning and you want us to pray over something with you, if you want us to agree with you for your house, for their seed, hallelujah, you can come up and we'll pray over you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, as she begins to sing. Hallelujah. It's an open door. Yes. Hallelujah. And so we say today, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, every prison door open, every bondage broken, hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Lift your hands this morning in this house. You can come up here. You can stand where you are. Maybe it's you. Maybe you just need to receive Jesus. You can just lift your hands right where you are today and say, Lord, I receive you. I receive you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I believe, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, 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 break every chain. break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain.
Power in the name of Jesus.
break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.